This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan, Upke Pagan. Joining me today, I've got a special guest, first time on At the Movies. Arvind Yuvaraj from BFM's Enterprise, fellow movie fan, joins me to talk about Hellfest. Sorry, I could have gotten you in for a better film.
Mm-hmm.
This one is directed by...
No, this one's perfect.
Really?
It is perfect. Yeah.
This one is directed by Gregory Plotkin. He was the editor of Get Out.
That's what I wanted to say.
Right?
Yes.
What is this?
I don't know. So he has so much exposure to a good movie.
Yes.
Like he is, like he's one of the, maybe the five people on this planet who has like that much exposure to that movie. And he decides to make this. But in his defense, he's also the guy who made Paranormal Activity, Ghost Dimension.
That's right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? And before we get into the movie, I want to talk about the ending. I'm not going to give away the ending.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have throughout this film is a hugely forgettable villain that is somehow redeemed by the last 5 minutes of this film, which has a very cool concept. I mean, this guy's not going to go down in history. He's not Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Jason, but it gives us an insight into what this movie could have been. And watching those last 5 minutes made me think this is a movie that was written back to front. As in they thought, oh, this is a really cool concept to end the film. Let's fill it up now with 90 minutes of comic cartoon murder.
Mm-hmm. See, I have a different take.
Did you like the ending? Because that for me was my favorite
part. Yeah. I love the ending. I love the ending and I love like one kill in the whole thing.
Okay, which kill?
You know the one I'm talking about, the one gruesome, cringy kill that you get in the movie.
With an exploding head?
No, there's another
one.
There's another one. Yeah, so that's basically it. I think the ending was put in because someone watched it and went, there needs to be this kind of an ending. Other than that, I mean, let's just call the movie for what it is. A few friends got together. They had like, you know, brainstorming ideas or whatever. Then someone went, you know, it would be cool if there was an actual killer in a theme park. And then they just left it.
But here's the thing, right? Don't you think that central idea is a good one? That a masked serial killer can get away with actual murder in a horror theme park because it'll look like it was part of the show.
Yeah.
Cool idea, but what this means in practice and execution is that for the first hour, all we had is a bunch of boring college teenagers walking through the theme park with a killer being constantly mistaken for someone who works there and nothing happening.
No. So even the college kids, so like slasher films, they have like two ways of doing things. So one way you side with the humans or the people who are being offed. Or the other way is you side with the slasher.
Correct.
So when you go watch like Alien, you side with the xenomorphs. When you watch like
Friday 13th. Are you siding with the xenomorph, really?
Yeah. You side with the xenomorph. When you go watch like Nightmare on Elm Street, you side with Freddy. Stuff like that. So this killer is equally as boring as the people he's trying to kill.
He is, but what makes it worse is that you have all of these kids who you're supposed to feel bad for if and when they die, and you feel absolutely nothing
for
them.
Because you don't know who they are.
You don't care who they are.
Yeah. The movie doesn't doesn't take any effort to tell you who these people are. They don't try to establish what they've done, why they're here. They are as annoying as like a B or C grade movie, horror people. It's like a movie that you would get on DVD, like straight to DVD. That's how these people are written. And then you have like the killer who you think could be like mildly interesting, but all he does is just lurk around the corner. So he's as irritating as them.
Yes. And also his design is not even mildly interesting. He's wearing a weird mask and a hoodie.
Yeah. So okay, but the mask. The mask is probably the most annoying thing about him because it has a look that goes, all the time. So every time I see him, I get that sound in my head, like it's someone going, And he looks like, he reminds me of, you know that person who always shows up behind Lisa Simpson, who's like wheezing?
Yes.
And she turns around and then there's this guy who goes, Yes. Know? And he's as annoying as that character in The Simpsons. So there's no one in this movie that I could side for.
Do you not also think that there is so much wasted potential? So for me, that last 5 minutes, that ending displayed how much wasted potential, because the only thing that alludes to that ending is this one throwaway line, like literally a throwaway line about monsters being among us in the beginning of the film.
Well, I didn't catch that.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And it could have been developed into something so much more. Also, when you're setting it in a theme park, for me, if I'm making a movie set in a theme park, I want to make it so horrific that no one will ever want to set into another theme park without thinking of my movie.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, can you look at a hockey mask these days without thinking of those films? You can't. Right? And it's the same with Freddy. It's the same with any kind of iconic horror flick. And here you've got the perfect setup, and it's just wittered away, because most of the killings, like you said, except for those one or two set pieces, I liked the set piece towards the end when both of our protagonists, both these women, are hiding among mannequins. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was pretty well cut. I also liked the multiple hoodied men at the park. I thought that was a cool
touch
set piece.
Yeah.
But everything else I've seen and done before.
Yeah.
Like syringe in the eye. Yeah, okay lah. We've seen it now 10 times, maybe in this year alone.
Yeah. And we've also seen this concept like a bunch of times before. It's not new. I think 2015, there was that small movie, Funhouse Massacre. Or
that's
something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was there. Rob Zombie has done it a bunch of times. But he has like his movies, I hate to say this, but his movies have more logic. Because he isolates his people. So,
yes.
Yeah. So from the beginning, like you said, like Get Out. So there's like a post-Get Out horror movie era, and then there's like a pre-Get Out horror movie era. And like after Get Out, there's no reason for people to be stuck in these situations without trying to get out. You know what I mean?
I like the slasher movie. And a lot of the time, I'm not even looking for something super new or original.
No.
Right? But when I watch a slasher movie, I need to feel that same tension and peril that I got from Jason. You either give me that much or more, right? Don't give me less, because I've already got a new Halloween movie coming out. And I can't settle for this kind of third-rate slasher flick anymore, because it just goes nowhere. No one's going to buy this DVD. No one's going to watch this on Netflix.
It should have been on Netflix. It would have done well on Netflix, I feel.
Because you were bored on a Saturday and you're like, what is Hellfest La?
Yeah, which is what I want to say. Would you recommend this movie? Like, when would you recommend this movie?
I don't know if I could. Just because there's so much more that's better that's out there. When it comes to horror flicks, right? When it comes to slasher flicks. And that's why I think I find it very hard to recommend this, because apart from a couple of really gruesome scenes, for the most part, this just feels really dull. And that was my main problem with it. I was bored.
I think I would ask people to watch it if it was, you know, MBO has like Half Price Wednesdays. TGV has like Half Price tickets if you buy tickets before noon. So if it's like a Saturday, you don't know what to do with your morning, you have breakfast, you go watch this. If you get this deal for like half price, yeah, go see it. It's a good, thoughtless 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And also, I think I would ask people who want to get into horror but are not in or cannot do horror to see this movie. So this is like the perfect movie to like dip your toe.
It's like an entry point. You're right.
Yeah, it's a gateway movie.
It is also not as gruesome as a lot of those indie flicks, because obviously this is a major studio production, which allows only a certain amount of gruesomeness.
Yes.
There is one particular scene which I was talking about, the head exploding scene, which was a clever test your strength gag, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of worked, and that is probably as gruesome exploding watermelon as you're going to get with this film.
Yeah.
But that aside, you're right. I think it's a very good entry point to a lot of people who maybe want to test the genre. But if you're a fan of the genre, this is going to be such a disappointment.
No, you get nothing. Even that, like the gag with the test of strength. It's weird that this killer, there's so many scenes where he pulls weapons out of the props.
Yes.
Like he gets axes and he gets like other sharp objects that he takes out of the funhouses. So I'm like, even that makes no sense because they would be like styrofoam at best. You know what I mean? So
who has real weapons?
Like actual weapons
in a theme park.
At a theme park. And also the fact that the theme park is supposedly like super popular. People are lining up. You know, people need to get like VIP tickets. But then for some reason, when these leads go in, they take like 20 minutes. No one's watching them. The killer takes his own sweet time, stalking, lurking around the corner. There's no security.
So he takes an hour of the film, Arvind.
Yeah. He takes an hour of the film.
He takes like a whole hour.
Doing what he wants. So the logic, I can ignore the logic if they sort of explained it in the beginning. But this movie sort of, it tries to be slasher, like, you know, Urban Legends or I Know What You Did Last Summer in the 90s, but it doesn't go that far. It's not sexy or violent enough to be exploitation. It's not cheesy enough to be 80s.
No.
And it's not like, you know, trend-setting enough to be 70s.
No, it's not. It's not. And it even begins in the most traditional of ways with the death of a girl that everyone can't explain. Mm-hmm. And then flash forward and you have a whole bunch of students who are going back into this funhouse as if nothing happened, right? And it's paint by numbers.
Yeah, and then someone hears of this news of, you know, someone's been killed. You know, it becomes like an urban legend itself. They never work on that concept after that.
No,
they never build
do
on that
not
premise.
Develop that premise at all. That actually doesn't even run through the entire film.
Yeah.
After a while, that death in the beginning is very quickly forgotten.
Yeah. What was your favorite part of this movie?
I think it was the set piece with the mannequins towards the end. I think that was cleverly shot. And I think that displayed the chops of a director that I wanted to see. Okay. Everything else leading to that point just felt like too much cartoon villainy.
Uh-huh.
And that was the problem. I mean, I was just waiting for him to burst out in like evil maniacal laughter because after the you just want him to like lurk around every corner going, danger!
Yeah.
You know?
With like the Batman pop. Like,
exactly.
Ping and boom and stuff. But to its defense, I will say that the art department did like a phenomenal job.
With the theme park.
With the theme park.
Yes.
So it's like in that respect, it's a very clever concept because the art department, the lighting, the way it's shot, the set pieces, they sort of had this cop-out where they could make like a slasher film with an actual person and bring supernatural elements into it without being paranormal or supernatural. So they use like the theme park actors and props and mazes and stuff to bring like a more, like a ghostly aesthetic.
Correct. And you know, that was what annoyed me so much because I'm watching this movie and I'm thinking about all the cool potential things they could do.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the theme park and all of these various players within the theme park and how you could have so many red herrings and fool the viewer into thinking who the killer is, right?
Because which they do once.
One
small time. Yeah.
Same, just all of these threads, they just pick it up a little bit and just let it drop.
Yeah, then they have no idea what to do with it.
No. And I'm like, it could have been such a good show.
Yeah.
And it just went nowhere. And I left the cinema, and if it wasn't for those last 5 minutes, which feels like a cheat, because you put that twist in, and you're like, ooh, this is interesting. No, it's not.
Do you think that the director did that, or somebody else told him to put that in?
I don't know. So my read was that the director did it, because that was the root of his film. I think he thought, hey, this is a really cool concept. Imagine a world where this was happening, right? Mm-hmm. And then he kind of built it backwards.
Okay.
And that's where I think it failed, because the building backwards didn't do enough to justify that ending, even though that twist was very cool.
Yeah. So it was a small good part in a really bad 99% of the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like there were two people who made this movie. One is the director, who had no intention of doing anything with this film. He had like one cool concept and then he just wanted to leave it be. Then there's another group of people, or the marketing department or the promotional team, who sort of stepped in and went, we need to give this like an 80s aesthetic because that's what's in now. You know, Stranger Things, Thor Ragnarok, Ready Player One, stuff like that.
Arvind, there are 6 credited screenwriters and story writers on this film.
Who have done good work.
But 6 of them with this garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
How?
Yeah. So they had no idea how to sell it. They make it seem like it is something from the 80s, but then the movie looks nothing like it's from the 80s because they use like modern technology. They could have worked with small details, like put some grain in, just fade the color off a bit, you know, make it look like it came out of that decade. So no. So the even the poster, the marketing, the trailer, the VHS posters that have come out recently have nothing to do with the actual movie itself.
Because it feels like they were going for full-on B-grade.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
So because
even
that's not
that
the movie.
Stopped short.
No. So it feels they've promoted and pushed this movie like it came out of the 80s, but it feels like some B-grade thing from the 90s.
Yeah. All in all, Hellfest is a bit of a letdown. But you know what? If you've seen it, you can let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan. Arvind, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I never tweet, but I am on Twitter at Arvind Yuvraj.
Okay. So if you tweet Arvind, you might force him to reply. So tweet him and let him know what you think about this movie as well. Hellfest is now playing in cinemas. Go check it out. You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.